Well, praise the Lord.
Yes.
For those of you that might not know who I am, my name is Larry Abbott. I'm from Ohio.
Amen.
I've been here since Monday evening, and I've enjoyed myself tremendously.
Amen.
Wonderful to travel about 2,500 miles and meet the same kind of people.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
The Lord did that.
Yes.
The Lord did that. I'd like for you to pray for us tonight. We have a burden on our heart.
Yes. Bless him, Lord.
Yes.
In this day and age that we live in, the computer age, there's a term that's come out of that I'd like to speak about for just a little bit. It's called virtual reality. Almost being there. It's almost like being there. The other day, we went with Sister Carol and Sister Mary to a Walmart somewhere. I don't know my way around here. And I noticed they had those big machines there in the front of the store where you could sit down with the big screens. And I've seen them in other places where you can put headsets on and even glasses. And you can drive these cars and race or whatever and the games that they have in there. And it's like putting you right in the action.
Yes.
It's just like you're there.
Yes.
And that really has caught on among our young people today.
Yeah.
Those things, they wanna be part of the action. They wanna feel like that they're there.
Yeah.
And I wanna talk tonight about reality.
Yeah.
You know, we have a lot of virtual reality. We got a lot of people pretending like they're doing things or pretending like they're there. But I wanna say tonight that there is a reality that the virtual reality is stealing from our young people.
Yeah.
That's
right.
The games and the computers and all the things that the toys that the devil has out there to take the minds of our young people and keep them occupied is causing them to face the facts of reality.
Yeah.
And there is a reality that there is an eternity that's facing every one of us.
Yeah.
There's a reality that there is a hell for those that are not ready to meet Jesus.
Amen.
That's a reality.
Amen.
And the time that we're living in now, it seems like that people go along so carelessly, go along so indifferently, act like that every day is going to be the same. There's always going to be a tomorrow. But one of these days, it's a reality that Jesus is going to come back and call this world into judgment.
Yes.
And we need to take time to stop.
Yeah.
And think about our souls tonight. That's what I want us to do.
Yeah.
Stop the world for just a little bit.
Yeah.
Stop our cares of life. Stop what we are going to do tomorrow. Let's not worry about that tonight. Let's think about our souls tonight.
Yeah.
I'd like for us to turn over into the 16th chapter of Luke. And I want to read a very familiar account to us about a rich man. Luke 16 and verse 19. It said there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. Here was a rich man. He had it made, folks. Whatever he wanted, he had it. He had the fullness of life, fared sumptuously every day. He didn't have to worry where his next meal was coming from. He didn't have to worry where his entertainment was coming from. He had everything that he wanted every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores. That's quite a contrast, isn't it?
Yeah.
One man having everything that he wants, being able to accumulate, or has all this wealth, and can go where he wants to go, and do what he wants to do, and have anything that pleases him, to the man that is a beggar, and it said that he was laid at his gate, and he had sores all over him.
Yeah.
Quite a contrast. You know, I want this to be a reality to you tonight.
Yeah.
That God is not looking down on all the pleasures and all the things of the world that satisfy us, that's not the thing that is going to get us to heaven, folks. I used to work with a fella, and I worked with tools, and we were mechanics, and he had a toolbox. We worked out of it, and on the lid of his toolbox, he had a little slogan. It says, "The man that dies with the most toys wins." That's a dissolution. That's what the devil would have us to think, see? Oh, the man that dies with the most toys. And I can remember the time in my life when I wanted the boats and the motorhomes and the motorcycles and all these other things that would satisfy my physical pleasure. I remember those times. But folks, here was a man that had all of that, and another man that he had sores all over his body. He had to beg. He was eating from the crumbs. He said, "Desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores." Not a very good life. Not a very pretty sight. None of us here tonight would choose to take that kind of path in life. Not any one of us here tonight. But folks, I want us to realize that it's not this world that really matters. This is our time and opportunity to prepare for the reality of the world to come. It's real. And I believe, I've been told, I really haven't studied it out, but I've heard others say that Jesus speaks more about hell than he does heaven.
Yes.
Hell is real. Jesus has told us about it. It is a place that burns with fire and brimstone. It's a place that says where the worm dieth not.
Yes.
The soul dies not. And that is truly coming to each and every one of us. Yes. And I want you to understand something else. If you look out in our world today and you see the downturn that we have in our world, everything taking a downturn, going farther and farther and farther away from God, folks, it's a reality that it's not very far off. I don't know how much longer God in His mercy and long-suffering will spare this world and mankind, but I can't believe that it'd be very far off from where we are today. In verse 22, it said it came to pass. You know, the Bible says that a lot.
Yes.
It came to pass. I want to tell you something. This is going to come to pass too.
Yes.
This is going to come to pass too.
Yes.
Eternity is waiting for every one of us. It says that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. That's waiting for every one of us. We choose right here. We are creatures of free choice, and we choose the path that we want to walk. God has given us that freedom to choose. He's given us the freedom to use our will and make the choice that we want to make. Whether we want to follow Jesus, whether we want to walk with God and enjoy the blessings of salvation, or whether we want to take the toys and the things of the world. We have a choice tonight. It came to pass that the beggar died, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And it said, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Oh, there's quite a contrast there, isn't there?
Yeah.
He says the beggar died, and he was carried by angels.
Yeah.
Into Abraham's bosom. He was carried by the angels into heaven. And folks, that is an eternal situation.
Yes.
He's there tonight in Abraham's bosom, waiting for this world to end, for the Lord to come back and call this world into judgment. He's there tonight, resting in peace. No more sores, no more dogs coming along licking on him. But it says the rich man, he died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments.
Yes.
You see the difference between the two lives here? One man fared sumptuously every day, had the world by the tail, so to speak, had everything that he wanted. But now, look where he is. This is a reality. And it seems like the devil, the god of this world, is blinding people's mind, trying to get you so caught up with all the things of the world, get your mind concentrated and buried in the things that the world has, and you can't see, can't realize that this is going to happen one of these days. Lord, help us tonight. We need the Lord to help us to realize this thing is real.
Yes.
It said a certain rich man. Some people say this is a parable. I believe when he said a certain rich man, there was a rich man that died.
Yes.
And he went to hell. And he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Oh, he seeth Abraham afar off. and Lazarus in his bosom. There's that man. He laid around at my table, at my gate. They fed him the crumbs from my table. And there he is up there enjoying the blessings of glory. There he is up there enjoying so much peace, so much happiness. And he's going to do that for a whole eternity. And here I am in torment. Torment's not something that you're going to enjoy. We don't enjoy being tormented here. And this is an eternal thing. It's a reality, folks. He said, and he cried. Now, this is the rich man. And he cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. If there's anyone here tonight that does not believe this, I pray God that He will reveal this to you, that it is truth.
Yes.
I pray the Lord will show you tonight, help you to realize this is truth.
Yeah. Lord, help.
It is a reality. Oh, I know sometimes we like to close our eyes. We don't want to think about the future. You know, I'm gonna tell you a little bit tonight. I'm not going to go into too much. But I remember the time in my life when I was out there in the world. And I remember the time that I used to do things to try not to think about that time. But folks, it's still coming. You and I can't stop it.
No.
It's still coming.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember the time I was down in the pits. I remember the time that I was in the bottle. I remember the times I went to bed at night with the bed in the room spinning around and around. I remember those times. I wanted to forget what I was facing. I wanted to forget what I didn't want to face reality. Oh, the world today, they're in that, caught up in that thing. Oh, going into the drugs, going into the alcohol, and these games, these computer games. Oh, I want to tell you, brother was talking the other day about how 20% of our young children are on Prozac. I want to tell you why a lot of them are, and it's because of the computer games. That's true. You talk to the physicians, they'll tell you that's true. Those things get into your mind. They get into your thought processes. They cause you to be nervous. They cause you to be herky-jerky and all those kinds of things. They do that. They do that to you, folks. You think the devil doesn't know what he's doing? Yes, he does. And he's doing it very well. He knows what he's doing. Oh, but that's going to pass. That's going to pass away. The old rich man, he had it made while he was here. But it passed away. Now he's in a place that will never pass away. It's hard. I don't have the words to explain eternity. But there's no end to it. There's no end to it. It'll never stop. Once that I find myself in torment, I'll be that way for an eternity. There'll be no more opportunity for me to be saved. There'll be no more opportunity for me to be delivered from that place. It'll be forever. I want you to think about that tonight. It's a solemn thought. He said, would you send Lazarus and have mercy on me, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. What good do you think a little tip of water on the tip of your finger is going to do in torment? But he'd settle for that. Just dip his finger in some water and cool my tongue. Oh, may the Lord help us tonight to see that this is a reality. You know, I appreciated the message last night. The Master has come and He calls for us. And you know, I was very disappointed that there was no response. The Word of God come forth in love. It come forth in mercy with an outstretched arm. No response. The Master called for you. I want to tell you something tonight. This message is in love too. But I want to tell you there's another Master that's coming. And it's the devil. And he's calling for you. And if you follow him, you'll find yourself in the same place that this rich man was. If you follow him, he's a hard taskmaster. And he'll take you farther than you ever intended to go. I know I was out there, and I never dreamed that I would do some of the things that I did. He'll take you right through it, folks.
Yes.
He'll drag you right down through, Brother Carl Shaver says, the molly grubs,
yes,
right down into the gutters of sin.
Yes.
He'll do that.
Right.
Oh, no, he won't do that to me. Yes, he will.
Yes, he will.
Because he says, the thief cometh but for to steal, to kill,
yes,
and to destroy. That's all he wants to do.
Yes.
He doesn't want anything good for you.
No.
Young people, he doesn't want anything good for you.
Good.
He has a future for you that looks just like this man right here. That's what he's got. That's what your future holds. And this is a reality tonight that is going to come upon each and every one of us, and that is eternity.
Yeah.
But we have time. We have opportunity tonight to prepare for that time.
Yeah.
Oh, but I want to go on here. Abraham said, son, do you remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things? And likewise Lazarus evil things? But now he is comforted. And now our tormentor. Oh, are you enjoying the... Are you having fun? Having a good time? You know what Brother Jerry Lennon told us one time from North Carolina? He said, you may be a cool dude now, but you'll be a hot dude then. That's what he said. You'll be a hot dude then. The world's not cool. Take it from me. I can relate many experiences to you while I was out there, and it's not cool.
Amen.
It's very harsh.
Yes, it is.
It treats you very cruel, folks.
That's right.
It's not cool, but it's cool to follow the Lord. It's cool to give your heart to the Lord and let Him lead and direct and work in your life.
Amen.
And when eternity comes, then you can look up and Lazarus will be right there in your face.
Yes.
Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yes.
Oh, remember, he said, all your lifetime you received your good things and Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted. All tables are turned now, but the problem here, or the sad thing here is that Lazarus is comforted for eternity.
Yes, that's right.
You're going to be tormented forever.
Yes.
It's not worth it.
No, it's not.
It's not worth it.
No, it's not.
The few days, the few years that we get on this earth that we have, that the Lord extends to you and I, it's not worth the trade.
Amen.
But the devil is lying to you. He's telling you, oh, it's fun. You just follow me and I'll give you all kinds of pleasures that'll satisfy your flesh. But folks, I want to tell you, you'll end up in the devil's hell.
Yeah.
I'm talking reality tonight. He said, besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thee. Oh, well, I couldn't send Lazarus if I wanted to. Oh, you talk about torment. Won't that be awful to be in a place where they're weeping and gnashing on you with their teeth? And you're burning in eternal flames, and you're seeing the peace and the glory of heaven, and you'll never get there. There'll be no more messages preached. There'll be no more opportunity for your soul to be saved. Won't that be torment in itself?
Yes,
it will. That'll be torment in itself. Oh, listen to the rich man. He said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I've got five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. You know what hell does to people? It makes evangelists out of them.
Yes, it does.
This man says, you send someone, tell my brothers, I don't want them to come here.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
This man wanted to evangelize his whole family. It's too late.
Yeah.
It's too late. It's an awful place. I don't have the words to describe hell. But I remember when I was a young boy and I was growing up and I heard messages like this, I trembled. I had enough of the fear of God before me. I trembled that I did not want to go to that place. I'm going to say this because many of you folks remember my uncle, Sam Abbott, and Ann R. Miller. One time in our home congregation, I was sitting in my normal seat, which was on the end of the row, and my Uncle Sam, if you knew him real well, you knew this was him. He walked up the aisle, service was getting ready to start, and he flipped me on this ear, and it hurt. And I hollered. And my dad looked at me, and I was about to get a whipping for that. And then that Uncle Sam went up there and sat down, and about 35, 40 minutes later, he preached a message on hell, and I was scared to death. Folks, it's a reality.
Yes, it is.
Went up there and sat down like he hadn't done a thing. My ear just a stinging like crazy. That's the way my Uncle Sam was. It's a reality. Oh, send someone. Talk to my brothers. I don't want them to come here. I've got five brethren. I don't want them to come to this place. And he said, Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went from them from the dead, they'll repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Folks, Christ has been presented to you.
Yeah.
He's been given to you here in this meeting.
Yeah.
He rose from the dead.
Yeah.
And He's sitting on the right hand of the Father tonight, making intercession for your soul if you'll yield to His wounding Spirit. God said one time, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And then Jesus come along and said, no man cometh unto the Father except the Spirit which sent me draw him. Young people, I want to tell you something. You might say, I'm going to get saved one of these days. I'm going to have me some fun first. But you can't get saved unless the Spirit of God is speaking and drawing to your heart. You can't just fall down and get saved whenever you feel like it. The Spirit of the Lord must draw you. Oh, it's not worth the chance. I remember one time that I was in a meeting and there was a man standing in the front row and the song was going forth and he was shaking all over. All he had to do was take two steps and he would have been in an altar of prayer. He was in eternity 2 weeks later. In an accident, 2 weeks later, went out into eternity, and we never did hear that he ever did anything to make his heart right with God. As far as I know, he's right there tonight with that rich man, being in torments. Heard the Word of God. Folks, when you hear the Word of God, you are without excuse. When you stand before God at the judgment day, you will be without excuse. God sends forth His Word, and He expects you and I to act upon His Word. He expects us to respond to His Word. Eternity. That's a reality. Don't close your eyes and think about something else. It won't go away. It's coming. And it's going to be here sooner than we realize. Eternity's coming. Over here in Matthew, the 16th chapter. Read another scripture. Matthew 16, beginning in verse 1. It says, the Pharisees also, with the Sadducees, came and tempting desired him, that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the times, the signs of the times? He said, and a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Oh, the prophet Jonas. God saw a wicked city, Nineveh.
Yeah.
They were a wicked city, and their sin had swelled, the tide of sin had swelled up so greatly that it came up before God, and God sent His prophet to tell those folks, if you don't turn away from sin, and if you don't humble yourself down to me, I'm going to destroy this city. Folks, the Word of God, the Gospel is still going forth now, tonight, and God is telling us if you don't humble down and give your heart to God, one of these days, and I don't know when it is, you don't know when it is, your soul will be destroyed in the devil's hell.
Yes.
The Gospel's going forth. He said, there'll not be another sign except the sign of the prophet Jonas. Oh, you know, this is mercy that God would speak to our hearts. Give us an opportunity to be saved. Give us an opportunity to be delivered from those things that are out in the world. To be saved from that place of torment. Saved from that place where the devil is. You know, the devil knows what his fate is, doesn't he? They're going to be cast right into the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. Oh, we're looking for signs today. What are you looking for? What are you expecting? What do you think is going to happen? You waiting for someone to come, for God to come along and grab you by the shirt collar? He's not going to do that.
No.
I believe I might have told you, mentioned it already in this meeting. God moves upon all His creation, but He will not move upon your will. You have your will.
Yeah.
You can resist the Word of God. You can resist His Spirit, even when it deals with your soul.
Yeah.
But you're the one that'll pay the price.
Yes, that's so.
And that's awful expensive.
Yeah.
Eternity in a devil's hell. Oh, you can discern. You know when it's going to rain. You know when it's going to be a nice day. How is it you can't discern the signs of the times?
Yeah.
Folks, things aren't getting better.
No.
I don't see signs of things getting better. Things are getting worse. Waxing worse and worse and worse. I see the tide of sin swelling up. Swelling up as an overflowing river. The devil has been at his handiwork now for quite some time. And we see the tide of sin just swelling up. People's hearts are hard. Rebellious. It seemed like that they're hardened to the gospel. They're hardened to the Word. They're unyielding to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to have my way. I'm going to have my fun. Let me tell you tonight, folks, it is a reality that you're going to face God at the judgment.
Yeah.
And the only thing awaiting for you can be hell. That's it. That's all you got to look forward to. That's the only thing. Seem like there's so much unconcern today. So much lack of conviction. We've been desensitized. You know that? I heard an illustration of putting a pan of water on a stove and putting a frog in it and just turning the heat on a little bit. And the old frog just sits there and he realizes he can jump out of that pan anytime he wants to. Turn the heat up a little bit more and the water gets a little warmer. And by the time the frog realizes that the water's getting too warm, he can't make his legs push him out of the water. He's being cooked. He's being cooked up. That's what's happening in our world today. You've been desensitized. All these virtual reality things, all these things that we have to take our minds off our eternal souls. All these things that are out there vying for your attention to give you pleasure to satisfy your flesh. The flesh that is going to go to the grave.
Yes.
Has desensitized us. We don't have that conviction anymore. We're living in a very hard time.
Yes.
We're living in a very hard time. Well, I need to move along. Matthew, the 24th chapter. This is familiar to us, I know. Matthew 24 and 36. Jesus speaking here, He said, "But of that day, an hour knoweth no man." Anyone here know when you're going to die?
No.
We don't know.
No.
Could be tonight.
Choose the time or place.
We don't have the promise of tomorrow.
That's right.
It could be tonight.
Yes.
That man that I saw standing there trembling and shaking under conviction so great went out into eternity in 2 weeks. Quickly, had no time. The accident was so quickly that he didn't have time to even cry out for mercy. He was dead before he realized it. Oh, may the God help us tonight. Now that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. He's talking about when I come back. Nobody knows when He's coming. He may come for one of us tonight.
Yeah.
But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Oh, look at our world today. Party time.
Yeah.
Can't wait for Friday night. But Saturday morning, they wish they hadn't seen a Friday night.
Yeah.
Party time. Eating and drinking. Marrying and giving in marriage. Life going on in general, wasn't it? Everybody just assuming that I'm going to get up again tomorrow and do it again. One of these days you're not going to get up tomorrow and do it again. The rich man, he lived that way. And there came a day when he didn't get up and do it again. He found himself, it said, in being in torments. He lifted up his eyes. He said here that all they were doing all these things until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came. Do you know what the Bible says? That Noah went into the ark, and after everyone was in there, who closed the door? God closed the door.
Yes.
Nobody. No, Noah, he would have had mercy. All that screaming, all that crying, the scratching on the side of the ark, people wailing, let me in, let me in. Noah would have had compassion, no doubt. God closed the door.
Yeah.
Our God that is so compassionate tonight, extending His arms of mercy and love to you and I, one day will be a dreadful God. He will be a dreadful judge to you and I. Jesus is not coming back as a Savior. He's coming back as a judge.
Yes.
Yeah.
To judge us for the works that we do, that we have done in this body. That's a reality. That's the Word of God. As I said a while ago, it came to pass. This is going to come to pass. Jesus said so.
Yeah.
And He said they were just having a good old time, probably laughing and mocking, and didn't have any fear at all. Probably thought Noah was a crazy old man. And there may be some sitting here tonight saying, "You're just a crazy old man. You don't know what you're talking about." Let me tell you, folks, this is real.
Yeah.
This isn't like almost being. It is going to be. Because God said so. Not because I'm saying so, but because God said so. It's going to be. Oh, and they didn't know. Oh, look at our world tonight. They don't know. They're totally unsuspecting of the events that's going to come. You know, they take surveys, and I've heard different surveys out there. There are people today, they don't believe there's a hell. There are people today, they don't believe there's a God. Does that change anything? There won't be any atheists in eternity. There won't be any atheists there. There won't be any agnostics there. The Bible says, every knee shall bow. We're not going to get out of it. You're not going to go somewhere else. You're not going to go put your headset on and your eye glasses on and sit down and get away from it all. You're not going to do it. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Thou art the Christ. Everyone, we're going to confess that. Oh, they didn't know. They didn't know until the flood came and it took them all away. So shall also be the coming of the Son of Man. Oh, when He comes through those clouds and we are all changed in the twinkling of an eye, you won't have an opportunity. You won't be able to cry out and say, "Lord, have mercy." It's too late.
Yeah.
Mercy is tonight.
Yeah.
This is mercy. God sending forth His Word and God giving us opportunity to yield to His Spirit.
Yeah.
This is our opportunity tonight. You won't have it then.
Lord,
oh, Lord, help us. I hope you're getting some of the point that I'm trying to make here tonight. It is a reality. And it seems like we're going along with blinders on the sides of our eyes and we're trying to tune all this thing out. Don't want to believe it. It's best if we believe it now, because if you don't believe it now, you're going to believe it then. You're going to believe it then. Jesus said, "What would it profit if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul?" What did it profit the rich man? He didn't make out too good.
didn't.
There's a scripture in Ecclesiastes that says something like this: because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. You know, I thought about that scripture many times. There's nothing happening. Everything's fine. I'm healthy. And I can go on and live any life that I want to live. Because sentence against an evil work, it says the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Remember when God said that men were evil in their hearts continually?
Yes.
Oh, because God has not sent some kind of judgment, people are just going on in their careless attitudes and in their careless ways. I'll tell you something, folks. You're going to remember this one of these days if you live. Yes. Judgment is coming to this country. I believe that with all my heart. God is going to judge this country, I believe, harshly for the sins that are being committed today. For the drawing away, for the rejection, for the pushing off of our God of heaven. God's not going to let this nation slide through that. Just because it hasn't happened yet, it's coming. That's a reality that we're all going to face. Luke, the 21st chapter, verse 34. Jesus speaking again and said, "Take heed to yourselves." I want you to take heed tonight to the Word of God. Take heed to it. You know, I was out there. I was enjoying all the pleasures that I could. I was soaking up this and soaking up that, traveling, taking nice vacations. Wife and I went to Hawaii a couple times. We did some nice things. Had my motorcycle, had my motor homes, two of them I think I had. We had my big boat that caused me nothing but grief. Had all those things. And I want to tell you something. I'm having more fun now than I ever had with all those toys. I'm having more fun now. I know some of the best. I know the best people in this world.
Amen.
And everywhere I go, I got family.
Yes.
And my heart feels so light and free. You know, I used to go to bed. I told my wife a few times, the Lord, I know it was the Lord dealing with me. I'd say, you know, if I die tonight, then I'll go to hell. See, I was raised in the truth. And it never leaves you. Young people, you're never the same after you've heard the truth. You'll never be the same. You might go out and try to taste and enjoy the pleasure of this world, but I want to say your conscience will continually convict you because of the Word of God that you have heard in your ears. It will follow you. And I thank God tonight that it followed me. Oh, I thank God that it followed me. Oh, He said, "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness." Oh, surfeiting is excess. We heard this afternoon, we got too much, too many things to occupy our time. Even those of us that are trying to live right, the devil fights us in our to try to pray. He fights us in our reading the Word of God, doesn't he? He fights us all the way. Be careful that you not let your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. Think about eternity, folks. It's a reality that every one of us is going to face.
Yes, it is.
And drunkenness, so that day come upon you unawares. You know, as much a lot of times in my prayers, I say, "Lord, remember all the saints' children and loved ones. Those that have said under your word, oh, how responsible they're going to be." Jesus said they'll be beaten with many stripes. Oh, how I said, "Lord, have mercy on them. They know to do your will and they don't do it. They're rejecting you." It's like Christ being there on that cross with his arms stretched out, saying, "I love you, I love you, I love you." And they're saying, "Crucify him."
Yes.
Lord, have mercy on us tonight. That day is going to come upon us unawares. Not a one of us know. I read that in the Scripture. For as a snare shall it come on all them. You know what a snare is? It's a trap. You ever see, we had simple little traps set up at home in past years. You just set a little box up there with a stick and put a carrot in it and go out there the next day and there's a rabbit in there. Once he gets in there and hits that stick, he's caught. He's in a trap. Folks, the world, the devil has traps set for every one of us. He has traps set for you. He's telling you, for one of the traps is, you're young. You got plenty of time left. Oh, go ahead and enjoy yourself. Go ahead and have fun. You're young. What could happen to you? Folks, you could go out in eternity in a car wreck or anyway that God sees permits to happen to you. We don't have that promise. A snare, it'll come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray. Oh, I pray tonight that the Word will go into your heart, through your mind, into your heart tonight. Oh, you may be not saved tonight. I know you're not satisfied. Right. I know you're not.
That's right.
I can truly say I've been there. I've done that. I was not satisfied.
No, it doesn't satisfy.
You're not going to be satisfied with the pleasures of this world. It just can't happen that way. I want to read one more verse of Scripture to you. In 2 Thessalonians. This is a reality. 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. Paul said here in verse 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, that when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a reality. He's coming in flaming fire to take vengeance on those that has rejected Him. The blood that was spilt on Calvary, that flowed down His side, that blood and that water for you and for me, that we could escape that awful place.
Yes.
He's coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance. You know, I can't imagine the vengeance of God. It's too much for me. But when God comes in vengeance, folks, it's all over. It's all over. And it said that they obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. Now get a hold of that. Eternity. Forever and ever and ever. Your soul that was not designed to go there. Your soul will be in a place that will be from the excluded from the presence of God. God is the essence of life. God is the essence of beauty. He's the essence of love. He's the essence of everything good. And you'll be deprived of that throughout eternity. Totally absent from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. That in itself will be a torment to your soul. Never ever to enjoy life again. But you will be in a devil's hell. The weeping and the gnashing of teeth. It's a reality. Jesus said it. Jesus told these people several times, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Let's get a song tonight. God is giving us another opportunity. God in His mercy is giving another opportunity. I want Him. I've been praying that God will make this a reality to you. If there's anyone here tonight that the Lord is dealing with your heart, now, today is the day of salvation.
That's right.
Today is the opportune time. Don't reject the Spirit of the Lord. You do not have a promise that He will deal with you again.
Amen.
Today
is the day of salvation. Amen.